So thanks for the invitation, and it's a great pleasure to be back here for the workshop. Today I will talk about the new observational windows for probing dark sectors. So first, I want to give a brief review of this conventional WIM dark matter paradigm, which many of you here are probably familiar with. So in this conventional WIM paradigm, we have the direct interaction between dark matter and the center model. And the dark matter annihilation into center model is the key process that determines the WIM dark matter relic abundance through the freeze-out process in the early universe. And if we plug in the weak scale mass and the weak scale interaction rate, we'll find that this WIM dark matter scenario readily gives the right relic abundance for dark matter. And this is appreciated as the so-called WIM miracle. And again, come back to this diagram. If we turn the time directions in different ways, we can see various ways to look for dark matter, like direct, indirect detection, Kaiser searches. However, following this conventional paradigm, after many years of searches, so far we haven't seen any convincing signals. Although the WIM dark matter may just right around the corner as the new experimental data coming up in the coming years, I think it's also the time where we may want to start to think more out of the box, that is to expand the theoretical vision about the possibility of dark matter beyond this conventional paradigm of single WIMP. Okay? So these possibilities, there are many. This includes light dark matter, exon dark matter, and the possibility of a non-minimal thermal dark sector. And in my talk, I'll be mostly focusing on this possibility of a dark sector and how we can experimentally detect them based on some of my recent work. Okay. So although we can go depart from this WIM dark matter paradigm more radically to look for a very different type of dark matter, like axion dark matter or stereo neutrino dark matter. However, I want to show that through some simple variation of the old WIM miracle paradigm, we can actually maintain this, we can actually alleviate the constraints from the current searches, or at least through alleviate some of them, while still maintaining this merit of WIM miracle in terms of predicting the dark matter relic abundance. So the key is to decouple the dark matter relic abundance from the dark matter, the direct coupling of dark matter to the center model states. So one example is this secluded dark matter scenario, which was proposed a while ago by the authors, including Maxim and Adam here. So in this scenario, we can recall the previous plot for the conventional WIM paradigm. But on the right-hand side, we would replace the center model states by this dark state X. And in the secluded dark matter scenario, this X is a metastable dark mediator, which eventually would decay into center model. So following this scenario, we can see that we can safely evade most of the direct detection constraints, but still it's subject to direct indirect detection, since the annihilation eventually going to the center model final states. So what I want to demonstrate in this talk is that there's actually yet another new realization of WIM dark matter paradigm, WIM dark matter miracle, where we would replace this right-hand side of this dark matter annihilation by a stable dark sector state X. Okay, so this is in contrast to the conventional WIM paradigm, where it's a center model state, and it's different from the secluded dark matter scenario, where the X is actually decay eventually. So in this scenario, the WIM dark matter annihilating to this secondary dark sector, this stable component X, is the process that determines the dark matter relic abundance. We should keep in mind that the WIM miracle is mostly intact if we change the final states, because the WIM miracle mostly is only dependent on this cross-section, annihilation cross-section. It's insensitive to the final states. And in this picture, all of the conventional searches would be absent and suppressed, because this thermal relic abundance is completely decoupled from the WIM dark matter direct coupling to the center model. Okay? So I also want to mention that this new paradigm of thermal freeze-out does not only apply for the weak scale WIMP, it also applies for a thermal freeze-out for dark matter with more general masses, including like other GeV or even lower, as long as it's cosmological viable. So then the key question is, what can this secondary state, secondary stable dark sector state X be? In fact, as far as I know, the reason that this scenario was not well explored for a while is in part because the concern that this X, a stable X, in this process may not be cosmologically viable. But if you really look into this, it's actually can be viable and can lead to rather interesting novel phenomenology. Okay, so we can classify the possibility in terms of the mass of the X. Roughly speaking, if this X mass is heavier than about EV, then it would tend to overclose the universe. But we can deplete the X through the annihilation into the standard model states. And the same diagram would also give you a scattering process between the X and standard model. So as I'll elaborate more later in this talk, this leads to a novel signal called the boosted dark matter that can be looked searched for with the neutrino experiments. And the other possibility is if this X is very light, if it has a sub-EV mass, then if we calculate the relic abundance of this X, generally it will not overclose the universe. So there's no need to have a further interaction or depletion through the interaction with the standard model. However, the interesting twist here is that with this sub-EV mass, the X would be relativistic at the CMB time. So it can reveal itself in terms of dark radiation in the CMB experiment. Okay. So in the rest of my talk, I'll be focusing on elaborating these two new scenarios and the related phenomenology. But for now, let's just zoom out a little bit to look into the big picture. Possibly, this possibility actually suggests a scenario that the dark matter actually lives in a non-minimal hidden sector, where there's a thermal bath of dark matter X and maybe other dark particles. And this dark thermal bath is more decoupled from the standard model states. Now let's take this one slide to comment a little bit more on the possibility of a hidden dark sector. Okay. This is actually a topic that has drawn rising interest in the recent years and cover a great variety of the dark matter models that people have been looking for. The question that is worth asking here is that is what can possibly live in this mysterious 25% of our universe? Okay. So for some people, there may be an immediate reaction that a dark sector, does that sound too complicated? Why do we have to go beyond the one particle? So, well, although the Occam's razor is a useful guideline, but we shouldn't forget that how complicated our standard model is. Okay? So there are many components in the standard model, and including multiple stable components. So if the simplicity or minimality is always nature's choice, it may well have shaved down the standard model, and then we may not even exist. So then the next question is, although maybe a dark sector possibility is interesting, however, if it's so complicated, would we have just no clue to look for them? And would that be a kind of a nightmare for discovery if all these conventional search strategies may not work as well? So in this talk, I will show you that despite the complexity of this scenario, if we follow the thermal history of the universe, there can still be some universal guidelines, and it actually opened up some new observational windows. So the first part is to elaborate this boosted dark matter scenario. Okay. This is based on, it was first proposed in some of my work with a set of collaborators, and now some of my theory collaborators working with this Michael Boone / Dune collaboration to try to implement this scenario for Dune. Okay, so let me just remind you, for this part, we're considering the scenario that the major component of WIMP dark matter annihilates into a massive dark matter, a secondary dark matter X, which can have a subleading component in terms of total dark matter relic abundance today. But it can be the smoking gun for the whole dark sector. So in the next slide, I will change notation and change this WIMP dark matter on the left side, the annihilating one, to be dark matter A, while on the right-hand side, this X, to be dark matter B. Okay? So the key processes that are involved here, first is this dark matter A annihilating into dark matter B. So this is a process that sets the relic abundance of the major dark matter component A in the early universe. And also, there can be a current day annihilation that's going on and can provide a new way of search for dark matter. So the interesting feature here is that for this non-relativistic A to be annihilating into dark matter B to be kinematically accessible, the B generally has to be lighter than the dark matter A. And then here, you'll see that the final state B would be produced with a sizable Lorentz boost. That's why we call it a boosted dark matter. So it's a relativistic or semi-relativistic. And then the boost of this by energy conservation, the boost, the Lorentz boost carried by this dark matter B would be set by the mass ratio between this annihilating state and A and this dark matter B. Okay? And then the second important process is the interaction between this subleading component dark matter B with the center model. The first importance is that if you look at the time direction vertically, the dark matter B going to center model states deplete the dark matter B so that it would not hover close the universe, as I commented earlier on. And then second, if you look at the take the time direction horizontally, you'll see that there's a naturally a possibility of the B and the center model scattering. And this would give a hope for detecting this boosted dark matter with terrestrial experiments.
How does it deplete, sorry, omega B?
Oh, through this B to center model annihilation.
You said you wanted to annihilate.
Yeah, because if this thing is heavier than EV, usually you would worry about it will overclose the universe unless you have a,
yeah.
Yeah, and then by this crossing symmetry, you will see also there can be a scattering. Yeah. So this is general idea. And then we also can implement this general idea into a concrete quantum field theory models. For instance, in the paper, we wrote down a model with a Dirac fermion, dark matter A and B. And the B center model interaction can be mediated by a dark photon mediator. So then the question is how to search for this boosted dark matter, which could actually be the smoking gun for the whole dark sector. I didn't change this, sorry. This should show up later. Yeah, so a couple of important features here is that first, the flux of this dark matter, boosted dark matter B from the dark matter A annihilation will be more energetic, and with the energy equal to the mass of the annihilating dark matter A. And the flux will be small as it's proportional to the n squared, just like we know from indirect detection. And in addition, because this incoming B is boosted, as it hits the targets in the terrestrial experiment and hit the standard model nucleon or electron, it will typically give the electron or the proton or the nucleon a hard kick so that the final state standard model particle electron or nucleon would also be a relativistic. Then the question is, what kind of experiments can be suitable for looking for this type of a novel dark sector signals? As I just mentioned, because of a small flux, we would typically need a large volume detector. And also, the detector needs to be sensitive to this energetic, typically energetic outgoing electron or the nucleon. So in the papers we wrote, we are focusing on the weak scale dark matter. So for that mass range, the conventional dark matter direct detection does not apply very well. However, it can still be very powerful if we are thinking about a light dark matter A instead of a weak scale, the conventional WIMP, the WIMP mass. And this is explored, for instance, in this paper. So I will be focusing on this the weak scale mass case. And for this case, we later realized that the experiments that are originally designed for looking for neutrinos or proton decays actually naturally satisfy both these two conditions, large volume detector and sensitive to energetic final center model states. So just to briefly review that, for the neutrino detectors, the conventional version is to be based on Cherenkov radiation, for instance, the super K line or the ice cube line of experiment. And for the next generation, there will be this ionization-based liquid argon detectors, for instance, DUNE. Just to note that this Cherenkov detector usually will have a higher threshold because of this Cherenkov threshold. But the DUNE, this type of experiment, may be able to probe, have a lower threshold for detection. All right. So now the fun part is that there's a novel search strategy for boosted dark matter. And it is a combination, interesting combination of the conventional dark matter indirect and direct detections. For instance, let's look at a typical example of looking for boosted dark matter from the dark matter A annihilation in the galactic center. Okay. So just remind you, first we're looking for the A to B annihilation. And in the galactic center, and you see that this is very analogous to the indirect detection process, only that instead of the center model final state in the right-hand side, here where the final state is this boosted dark matter B. It's another component of dark matter instead of a center model. And then the second part of the detection process is in analogy to the direct detection, in that we are looking for this boosted dark matter that's produced from the main dark matter annihilation in the galactic center, and then as the boosted dark matter travels down to the Earth, it can scatter and interact with, for instance, electron in the neutrino detectors. Okay, so here we are directly detecting this boosted dark matter component with a neutrino detector. And more interestingly, this signal, although we are using a neutrino detector to look for them, they're actually not just kind of trivially degenerate with a neutrino signal. Instead, there are several ways that we can distinguish the boosted dark matter from the neutrino signals. One thing is to look for the directionality, and the other thing is that the boosted dark matter typically do not have a charge current interaction, unlike the center model neutrino case. So in our paper, we take the existing super K data to exclude some of the model example, the parameter space in some of the model examples, and we make a projection for some of the future other experiments. So just to recap here, this boosted dark matter actually sets a new scientific goal for neutrino experiments, in that we can actually directly detect a large class of dark matter sector models using neutrino experiments. And scenario that we propose has also drawn substantial interest from neutrino physicists. And for instance, at Super K, there's an ongoing study led by Ed Kearns at BU. And then some of my theory collaborators and I were working with the MicroBoom and DUNE, some leaders at the MicroBoom/DUNE collaborations to further study this scenario, including actual simulations. Okay, now let's come back to talk about the other scenario, the other possibility of this new freeze-out paradigm, which is the case two, where this final state X is very light. It can be nearly massless. Just to remind you that with this sub-EV mass, we do not have to worry about its overclosing universe, even without further depletion and interaction with the center model. Okay, so this process is not necessary. And then you may wonder, without interaction with center model, then would that be a nightmare for discovery? We shouldn't forget, that's a fair concern, but we shouldn't forget that when we say there's no interaction with the center model, there's still always an irreducible interaction through gravity. And that is the key for look for this scenario. Okay. So as mentioned, with a sub-EV mass, X would be informal dark would be relativistic, and informal dark radiation in the CME spectrum. And this is another type of phenomenology that I explored with some of the collaborators. So just to give a brief, very brief review about CMB so that everyone can follow. So our universe is a photon bearing. So for a long time after the hot Big Bang, the photon and the baryons are strongly coupled and form a plasma where there's an acoustic oscillation going on. And then it is until the time when the photon decouples from the baryon photon fluid, at when the temperature drops to be about EV, we get this last scattering surface of the photons, which is a snapshot of the photon when the universe is about 318 years. This is like a cosmic fossil that records a lot of information at that time of the universe. And then we can transform the CMB sky map through Fourier transform to get this CMB anisotropy spectrum, where we see these peaks and the valley structures. So if we add beyond standard model particles with a sub-EV mass, like this dark radiation possibility I just raised up, this particle would contribute to the radiation energy density at the CMB time and increase the Hubble expansion rate. So it can affect the CMB spectrum in various ways, in particular suppress the high multiple peak amplitude. And this can be parameterized in terms of its effective neutrino number, which is a 3 in the standard model. So then for more generic dark radiation, this delta, its contribution to the delta N effective is determined by two factors. The first one is a G star, which capture the number of degrees of freedom in the dark sector. And then also this temperature of the dark radiation at CMB time, which is determined by when the dark matter, dark sector, and the standard model kinetically decouple. Then there's one important question to ask is, does the dark radiation actually interact at the CMB time? So oftentimes when we talk about dark radiation, people think about this free streaming type of dark radiation, which is in direct analogy to the standard model neutrinos. They have a mean free path that is larger than the Hubble expansion rate. So basically, they are just free streaming at the CMB time. And this is implicitly assumed in the official experimental analysis, for instance, by the Planck collaboration. However, there's another possibility, which rather generically apply for a dark sector scenario, is that the dark radiation may be like a fluid. It may be efficiently scattering or interact at the CMB time. And this possibility is not included in this official experimental report so far. But what I will show you is that there can actually be a very interesting observable difference between the free streaming and interacting type of dark radiation. Okay. So the starting point is that for free streaming species, like standard model neutrinos, they can travel faster than the sound speed in this photon baryon plasma prior to the photon decoupling, and lead to an anisotropy in the energy momentum energy stress tensor. And the effect would increase as the free streaming particle fraction increase.
Interacting with itself or interacting?
We are focusing on the interacting with itself.
With itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have time to go into details, but this is a simple equation that tells us that this anisotropy caused by the free streaming particle would feed into this evolution equation for the photon perturbation that would eventually lead to the CMB spectrum prediction. And it caused an out of phase solution compared to the free oscillator solution of the photon perturbation. So in this earlier work by Bachinski and Stojak, they point out that there can be a universal phase shift at high L, high multiple peaks of CMB spectrum if you have a free streaming radiation like neutrinos. In this paper in 2015, through some analytical estimate, we point out that if instead you have a scattering or interacting dark radiation, its contribution to the phase shift actually takes the opposite sign compared to the free streaming case. And the reason of this opposite sign related to the fact that if you add more free streaming dark radiation, it would increase this free streaming energy fraction in the total radiation. Well, if you add the scattering dark radiation, you add to the denominator, so you actually decrease this free streaming energy fraction, and which eventually feeds to a different effect on this phase shift. Well, of course, this is still an analytical estimate, sort of crude. So it's important to actually do a more dedicated numerical study to see how this actually changed the constraint on dark radiation if we applied it to the constraining the CMB spectrum. So in this more recent work with Chris Bruce and Chris Sigerson, we conducted this two-parameter analysis. So instead of just using a one-parameter fit model like in Planck's report, assuming all the possible dark radiation is free streaming, we include the possibility that part of the dark radiation can be actually scattering or interacting. Okay? And then this is a two-parameter fit result, which agrees with the updated version of this paper with Bauman et al. And in addition, we also find that instead of this N free streaming and N scattering as the base of the two-parameter fit, another more robust and more physical parameterization for this effect is to use this F free streaming fraction and N total, which is leads to more robust constraint, and each of them has carried more physical meaning. And here is the constraint on the delta N total, which is slightly stronger than the if you just use the del the constraint on the N free streaming and scattering, and then add them up. All right. So let me just also briefly mention that in another work with Peter Ashead and Jesse Shelton, we also find that there's actually a theoretical benchmark for the dark radiation surge in the CMB. The upshot, there's some, I will not go into detail the derivation, but the upshot is that if the dark sector is ever in thermal equilibrium with the Sand model, say after the inflation and reheating, there's a lower limit on how big delta ineffective that we can get, which is insensitive to the dark sector details. So to just use this seesaw picture to recap, the idea is that the more standard model degrees of freedom at the time of the dark sector standard model decoupling, the more you would heat up the standard model neutrinos relative to the dark radiation as these massive states in the standard model decouples. On the other hand, we know that if we just have standard model, there's an upper bound of how much relativistic degrees of freedom that we can get if we just count in all the standard model particles. So this eventually leads to this lower bound on the delta N effective, which is bigger than 0.027. So now looking at the forecast for the future CMB stage 4 projection, the 1 sigma sensitivity is projected to be in between 0.015 to 0.03. So you can see that it's kind of close to this theoretical lower limit on the dark radiation in the thermal dark sector. So what this tells us is that it's likely that the future CMB experiment may be able to discover or exclude any hidden dark sector that is once in equilibrium with the standard model. And this is a timely input for setting the performance goal for the CMB stage 4. So can recap. So here is a slide that can recap most of the discussions in this talk, and which also apply for many other known thermal dark sector, thermal dark matter freeze-out paradigm. So the idea is that despite the complexity of a thermal dark sector, or even include the wind miracle scenario, if we assume the general assumption that the universe evolves thermally, the entropy, the total entropy would be conserved. So there will be always there always be a loss carrier of the dark sector entropy. For instance, this dark state X that we have been talking about, the rho of X, the cosmological rho of X, is analogous to the Sun model photon neutrinos. And it can be seen as a generalized concept of dark radiation. Okay, this guy. So the picture is that as the universe expands and the temperature cools, the dark matter, at first, the dark matter and X are in thermal equilibrium. And then as the temperature drops, dark matter and other massive components in the dark sector would decouple. And then they would dump the entropy to this lighter state X and heat up the X. And the final fate of the X depends on its mass and its interaction. One possibility is that eventually going to Sun model states, dump the entropy to the Sun model states through decay or freeze out. Or if it's light enough, it may not have this substantial interaction, but instead it can maintain itself as a radical dark radiation in the CMB spectrum. So it's a pure gravitational effect. And just mention that if you want, you can even restore the wind paradigm in this entropy flow picture. In that case, we just don't have the X, well, the dark matter directly dumps its entropy to the Sun model eventually through annihilation. So the upshot here is that this generalized dark radiation, the last carrier of dark entropy is X particle. It's typically the subdominant component in the whole dark sector. But it plays an important cosmological role. And it can be the smoking gun for the whole dark sectors and leads to a new observational directions. So this is the conclusion. In this talk, I've discussed that this thermal dark sector scenario is a motivated scenario. Although there's a seemingly complexity with this possibility, there can still, it's feasible to conduct a systematic study for them. And these studies can also lead to a new direction for dark matter searches at neutrino experiment, CMB experiment, and potentially with a structure formation. For future directions, first thing is this, there is a worthwhile study on a more general study on the non-gravitational signatures of dark radiation. For instance, there's this work in preparation with Maxim and Joseph here, where we're looking for using dark matter direct detection experiments to look for dark radiation from light dark matter decay. And another possibility is to look into the effects of dark matter dark radiation interaction on CMB and structure formation. This is one recent paper with collaborators where we propose this partially acoustic dark matter scenario, including the dark matter dark radiation interaction that can help explain this inconsistency in the measurement of Hubble constant and the matter power spectrum, which I don't have time to go into details. And another thing is to look for this non-thermal injection of dark matter from the dark matter annihilation and its implication, its a possible imprint on the CMB and the structure formation. And this is a work in preparation with a postdoc at the UCR. Okay, thank you.
Yes, go ahead. So Frederick needs a new set of data for reducing dark matter decaying on even lighter states, such as shown in the detection experiments. Does it turn out, or maybe it's too early to say, that most of that shows up just in typical nuclear recoils, but you know, it's a different source, or is it a collision event or something?
But on the first order, it would be similar to just the regular nuclear recoil. But if you look at the detail of the spectrum, there can be fine features that you can tell from the regular detection. Yeah. It's still work in progress.
Okay, great. Thank you.